I'm Carrie Brett, and this is Shot at Love. Finding love on Clubhouse is a thing. Just ask today's guest, Kelly Shepherd Watts, a life and business coach who found love with relationship coach Lewis Morris on Clubhouse. Kelly and I are obsessed with Clubhouse and can't believe how much our lives have changed from using this app. We love the connections, learned so much, and met the most amazing people since we've been hanging out on Clubhouse. Clubhouse is filled with successful singles who are not only looking for love, but looking to level up professionally. These new friendships and connections have deepened our mission to help others find love. In this week's episode, Kelly will encourage you to join the conversation, find that community, or love interest. When we come back, Kelly will discuss how to make a powerful impact while sharing tips and strategies to finding love on Clubhouse. You won't want to miss it, so stay tuned. Kelly Shepherd Watts has spent 35 years working with nonprofits, social work, and in education. She completed her MBA and serves her community in Charlotte, North Carolina, while serving on 11 nonprofit boards and leadership roles. She started the Coaching Concierge, where she helps people make their dreams a reality. She's been a motivational speaker and facilitated leadership and professional development seminars. She's also the executive director of a nonprofit helping single parents create economic success through group and individual coaching. Her goal is to continue to help people achieve their heart's desire as she continues to strive to accomplish hers. It's my honor to welcome Kelly Shepherd Watts to the show today. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Carrie. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you so much for being here. This is going to be fun. Before you tell us about finding love on Clubhouse, take us back to where you were in your life at the time when you first got on this app, Clubhouse.
Oh my gosh, that's a story. I was, as my girlfriend says, dismantled. I was feeling very lonely, just wondering why there were days that would go by and I would sit and my phone wouldn't ring. I wouldn't get a text message or maybe one from a best friend because it calls all the time. It checks in on me, but I just was feeling alone. Dating was awful. And just literally called one of my sorority sisters one day, just hysterical, because I'm like, what is going on? We were popular when we were in college and we would hang out in New York and know people. And what in the world has happened? I was like, I don't want to just die off and be lonely and, you know, people don't call me to go places. And then my friend, she was like, you need to get on Clubhouse. And I was like, I don't want to do another app or anything like that. What is it? So I sat listening to it with her one day and I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And it was a conversation, I think about, it was about dating, but it was pertaining to men. And so I was like, all right. So my cousin happened to send me an iPhone. And so I'm like, well, I have an iPhone. I said, I've been sitting on it for like the last 3 months. I haven't switched my phone over. Well, come on over. Let me switch it over. Switched it over. And then it has been magical. Something I could have never believed since then.
It is magical. It is a magical app. I was telling you that I ended up in a room last night with Oprah Winfrey. And I'm like, this is actually happening. How is this happening? I watched her Adele interview and it was unbelievable. And then I just went into a room that said, let's discuss Oprah and Adele. And then all of a sudden I hear Oprah's voice. I'm like, and there's Gail, her best friend. And that's the power that I could, that was the hottest Hollywood ticket in town, that concert and that interview. And I watched it sobbing, thinking about all the heartbreak and the pain, and you could hear the pain when she sang. And then to listen to Oprah talk about the interview, she hadn't even seen it because she was on the West Coast and they're 3 hours behind. So she's like, I haven't even seen it, so I have to go and watch it for the first time. And it was just amazing. She was so real. She was just... It was so incredible just to be in a group. And I was blown away. I really, at that point, I was like, this is a magic app. This is incredible. So yeah, it's been such a game changer for me. So in the past, you had tried dating apps and you found dating apps stressful, that there were too many options, that you couldn't keep up with the text. Why was Clubhouse so different from a dating app?
I think Clubhouse was different because I didn't really go on the app. I mean, I knew I would meet people, but it wasn't under the premise of just dating. It was other things, you know, business, learning new things, learning how to utilize the app for business, learning how to use the app to just meet new people and socialize and just change my mindset. And so that was very different because when you go on a dating app, it is, of course, it's exciting, especially when you start getting the messages and you're flooded with messages and you're trying to keep up and it's, oh, someone new's, you know, checked you out and you're trying to navigate these conversations, but it's all just straight about dating and making sure you're showing up in a way that's attracted to someone and that it's going to, you know, want them to get to know you more. But on Clubhouse, it was a little easier because even though, and I started in a gratitude room, that was the first room, and pretty much didn't go into too many rooms after that, at first, and then started slowly going through the app and going into health rooms and some other rooms here and there and meeting new people. And, but it was just, I felt freer. Like I felt like I was just in a group, like, you know, in your neighborhood hanging out or at somebody's backyard party and you're just getting together. And everybody's just, you know, minus the food, you know, minus Sydney. Well, you can have your own drinks or whatever. But I just felt like I was talking amongst friends. And then, you know, if you met someone, great. You know, and sometimes I would see people that were interesting and so forth. And I'm like, okay, cool. But really never navigated any relationship level of conversation, just saw people of interest. And I said, you know, well, you know, if it's something happens, that'll be great. But otherwise, you know, I'm good. I was having a good time. And I think that's the difference. It was just like a bunch of friends just sitting, getting together, getting to know each other.
Right.
And then, you know, some strangers would come into the conversation. That's all.
Right. And that's how it was for me last night. It was literally hanging out with Oprah and her best friend. And it went down like that. And it was really incredible. Like she was tall and she was taller than I thought and she looked amazing. And people always ask me, what was the shoot like? What was that person like? And to hear her feedback about that interview was, she's not going to give that commentary anywhere else, but she gave it on Clubhouse.
Wow.
And because maybe, I have no idea, but it happened and it blew my mind and Clubhouse blew your mind and you were hooked. And you found many friends and new opportunities and all these like-minded people interested in the same conversations. What kind of people do you see on Clubhouse?
A lot of business people, a lot of professional people, entrepreneurs, health and wellness. Like those are the people that draw my attention. A lot of Christians, you know, very spiritual people. I've tapped into a couple of rooms that were a little bit out of my league, meaning that they were on a little side of ratchetness. And so I'm like, okay, that's a little bit too much for me. But most of the rooms I go in are really, really good. I was in a room yesterday that was, the conversation was going on about, dear future wife, dear future husband room. And we were just navigating some conversations and it was great to see people that I recently met through Lewis coming into the room and already calling me sis and, you know, or Miss Kelly, you know, and it just felt warm and inviting. And I was like, oh, hey, such and such, you know, I really feel like I just moved into the neighborhood and I met these friends at a little social and I took a walk and I'm seeing everybody. Everybody's popping in or coming over, you know, they see me in my yard and they come over. It feels comfortable like that. Right. And so I enjoy that. I really enjoy that.
Right. And I think it fills the isolation and the loneliness. And there are people that don't talk to anyone all day.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you are around people that care about you and pay attention and listen to you, we need that. I mean, we need humanity. We need this caring and compassion. So every day is different in Clubhouse. You can meet the most unexpected people in the most unexpected ways. You never know
mm-hmm.
who you're going to be on stage with. You never know who's going to come into a room. And one day you met your boyfriend, Lewis. Can you tell the listeners the story about how you met Lewis?
Yes. So every day I co-moderate a room called Let the Gratitude Flow, Grow with Gratitude. And he popped in the room and his business coach advised him to wear a bright color. So he comes in and this photo is his avatar where he's in this red suit blazer and he's, you know, bald head with a beard and his, you know, his beard is pretty long. And so, and I like, you know, guys with beards. And so I'm like, well, who's this dude thinking he's super fly with this red blazer and this, you know, bald head and this beard? And so as you know, the room is going on, I go and check out his profile. And I was like, oh, he's a relationship coach. Okay. And I go to his Instagram. Instagram is very professional, looks really good. I'm like, wow, he's, you know, got his stuff tight. And so I don't know if he spoke that day. I think he was just sat listening. And then he came back a couple of times. And I never told any of my girlfriends or anything like that about him, that, you know, I had checked out his profile. And then a friend of mine, she had sent me a text message saying that my husband is on the way. So I thought she was in Clubhouse somewhere. So I'm like, oh, screenshot his picture and send it to me. And she's like, no, I'm not in Clubhouse. That's what God told me. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I received that. Then about 2 weeks later, after we've been seeing him in the room for about 2, maybe 3 weeks, she says, I found your husband. And I'm like, what? And so she sends me his profile picture. And I'm like, no way. I bust out laughing. And so I said, I checked him out the first day he came into Clubhouse. He was like, what? And so apparently her and another friend thought the same thing. They were having a background conversation about it. Meanwhile, him and I have never even spoken. He, at this point, he has never heard my voice, but I've heard his. He had already given his story because we, you know, he came in and shared what he's grateful for. And he told us a little bit about his backstory. So then maybe another week went by, and right after that Monday after Father's Day, I came in the room talking about my experience on Father's Day. And she, you know, the room, they already knew my mom had passed, and I was sharing something about that in regards to a song. And so I get a DM from Instagram, and I'm like, oh, it's from him. And he says, sorry for your loss. I know what you're going through. My mom passed in 2016. If you would ever like to chat, please give me a call. Left his number. So after I finished speaking, I replied and I said, oh, that'll be great. Sorry for your loss. Just call me anytime. And I gave him my number. And so about 20 minutes after the room ended, and we go about 3 to 4 hours sometimes, he calls me. And so I'm like, oh, wow. I was like, you know, and we just started talking and sharing, and eventually I find out that while he was listening to me, he said that he was like, wow, that's, she has a lovely voice, and he felt like he could listen to me talk, like just keep talking. And so I was like, really? He says, yeah, that, he said, I didn't know who was talking. And then when I started looking around, he said, I looked at your picture, and I was, and that he said, I thought you were beautiful, and then I went to your Instagram. I was like, wow, really? I said, from hearing my voice, he says, yeah, he said, I can listen to you talk all the time. And we talked throughout the week. And then we were supposed to do a Zoom call 2 weeks later, 2 weeks out. And then he calls me before the weekend even comes in. And he says, do you have time at 3 o'clock on Saturday? And I said, I actually do, because something got canceled. And so he was like, give me your email. I'm going to send you the link. And so we had a 2.5 hour Zoom call. That was the first time we really saw each other face to face. And then the following Friday, we did another one, and we were on for 5.5 hours, just laughing and giggling and just reminiscing, because we're both from up north. and just sharing about who we are and so forth. And it's just taken off since then.
Wow. So he, it's crazy because the heart knows, the heart can hear the other person's heart. And that's what's so fascinating to me about Clubhouse and how different it is than any other component. So you have these Zoom dates. How crucial do you feel virtual dating is?
Some form of video call is crucial. We live 3.5 hours away from each other, which is great because I've dated long distance before. That's how I relocated to where I am now. And then since being here, I dated someone back home that I grew up with. And so when you can't see the person, video calls are very, very crucial. And for us, what we did was made them very intentional. So we do video calls on Instagram. So that's just an everyday check-in kind of call. But when we sit down on a video call, we're either discussing business because we're doing some business things together now, or we start talking about the serious things. And that's when he calls. When we're putting the cards on the table and we pull one card at a time and we discuss serious topics, you know, our likes and dislikes. We talk about relationship, you know, challenges or issues. And because he, you know, wants us to be face to face. And then there are certain conversations that we do hold, we'll table until we're physically face to face.
That makes sense. That's smart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you seem like you guys got it down. Everything with him, though, is the building that foundation. And I think that is key. I think people, it's a process. Falling in love is a process. So Lewis decides that he's going to come and visit you. Now, this is a great tip if you're going to date someone in another city. And I heard this somewhere on Clubhouse that someone said, if you're a woman, have the man come to your city, have the man come to your location.
Yes.
That way you know your way around that city and you can control what happens. You don't want to be trapped somewhere where you don't have friends, resources, and don't know your way around. So he came to visit you. Were you nervous about him coming for the first time?
Not until I went to go pick him up because he took the train here and when I was waiting for him, like I knew the train was there because I could see it and waiting for him to come out. That's when I got nervous. He was really nervous. He like days before he was like, oh my God, I'm about to see you. And I was like, okay, it's going to be okay. He's like, no, but I'm going to see you face to face. I was like, I know it's okay. And normally I would have had the person stay at a hotel or whatever, but we set very strict parameters about our visit. On one of our calls, he said, listen, we need to discuss what this is going to look like. And I said, okay. I said, I'm good with that. And he said, he brought it to the table. He said, I believe that we should not be intimate. Well, he terms it, no nookie. And I bust out laughing. And I said, I'm perfectly fine with that. Actually, I would prefer that because I want to do this differently than I've done anything, any other dating. And so it was, you know, so now he knows how to prepare. I know how to prepare. And I was very, I was very comfortable with him coming to my house. And so he came to my place. Otherwise, normally I would have, you know, said, well, maybe, you know, you should stay at a hotel. But I felt very comfortable. I told him, I said, you know, I'm comfortable with you coming here. And he's like, you sure? I was like, yeah. I said, I'm comfortable with you coming here. Cause he was going to be here for about 5 days. And he said, okay. And we set, you know, all the ground rules out and it went according to plan.
That's a big first date. I mean, you guys must have really had a pretty deep connection as far as these video calls. You had something there because
yes,
for you to do that, I think is pretty big. Gamble isn't the word, but like you just took a leap of faith, I feel like.
Right.
you know? And I think sometimes in life you just have to take a leap of faith. Like, this feels good to me. I'm going to go with this. And he was like, I'm going to go see about a girl. And this is how this all went down. And building a relationship is all about trust. So you automatically really trusted him.
Most definitely.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And don't you think that people build these relationships in these clubhouse rooms and it's all about trust?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, because it's the same way with just my friends. Like, we've created this family of men and women that are like brothers and sisters, aunties, uncles. And a bunch of us just got together like 2, maybe 3 weeks ago in Maryland. And the young lady whose house I stayed at, she's never seen me before face to face. We've talked on the phone. We've been on the app every day together. Mm. We've done FaceTimes. We've done Zoom calls. But most of the people who came to our house, she has not met. And so, but it was such a level of trust that took place that I really feel like they are blood relatives. I call it, I always say in our room, I say, you know, we're a family, not by blood, but by God's love. That's nice. And it truly, truly feels that way. The connection is so genuine and so deep. I mean, we have a text chat called the Battle Buddies, because we support and stand behind each other so strongly that it's a bond that no one could really break.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, I had a person who came on my podcast and then we became friends, and she was like, wanted me to do a shoot for her. And she said, well, you have to come and stay with me. Mm-hmm. And it was so nice because we were going to go to a retreat and she was going to fly into Boston and I was going to pick her up at the airport. We've never met, but we're friends. We're great friends.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so these are the connections that are being made on Clubhouse, and it's just amazing. So one of the key things is you can just show up and be yourself. And if mm-hmm. you're comfortable with yourself and you're totally grounded in who you are, you'll do well on Clubhouse. And it's really important to be clear and caring and take a risk, be courageous, or say something creative or memorable when you participate in these conversations. What do you think? Mm-hmm. What do you think makes you stand out on Clubhouse?
When I go into a room, 9 times out of 10, I try to go on stage and participate. I really don't go into rooms too often that have like hundreds of people in it. I did do the Clubhouse town hall meeting the other day, and I've done that like twice. And but I find it a little overwhelming because I'm nosy. I want to see who's in the room. So, you know, you're scanning and you're scrolling, taking a look at all the avatars and so forth. But if I'm in a room with a couple hundred people or, you know, under 100 people, 9 times out of 10, I try to get on stage so I can talk and be a part of the conversation and hopefully provide some level of value, ask questions. And I think that sets me apart. And because a lot of times people come and they sit in the audience and they may not say anything and they may come back to the room, like especially if it's a room that's, you know, takes place, you know, on a regular basis on a scheduled time frame. And they'll come and they'll sit and they'll sit and they'll sit and you'll invite them up. They just really don't say, they don't come up. And I think because I'm that open to participate and share, which is, if people who know me from childhood, I was super shy all the way through to college. And so when I tell people that, they're like, you were shy? I'm like, yeah. I was like, I was always the tallest thing because I'm almost 6 feet tall and the quietest thing. And so now I'm, you know, I just feel that in order for me to be successful, I have to have my voice heard. I want to, you know, be able to help people. So I can't be silent. So I have to be a part of the conversation. And so I think I do that and I show care and concern for people. I even went into a brand new room one time and it was mayhem. in the room. And I backchanneled the two moderators. I said, listen, I said, I co-moderate a room. We have some structure to our room. If you would like, I'd be willing to, share what we do. Maybe it might work for you. I said, because you have a great room. It was a great topic. I said, but everybody was talking all over each other. I said, and it was so chaotic. I had to leave. I couldn't even stay focused. And the guy was, thankful. He was like, I definitely will connect with you. He was like, thank you so much. And thank you for the compliment. I said, yeah, great room. I said, but that was pure chaos. But, some people like that. I've seen other rooms that they like that. And, it's just not for me. But I think those are just little tidbits that set me apart. I had a great bio.
There you go.
And unfortunately, I was adding something to it. I was adding my degree, my graduate degree. And the little space where you're adding the bio, it went white. And I thought maybe it was just a slight glitch or something, and that what I had already had there would have saved. But when I went to save, everything was gone. Oh. And I was like, oh, my God. And I didn't screenshot it. I'm usually a big screenshotter. I'll screenshot things just to have it for a record. And I was like, oh, my God. It took me like 3 days to like really think about what I wanted. And I couldn't remember hardly anything but the top section. So that's all I put back on mine. The top section, I put my social media, IG on it, and my Cash App. And I put, I just put a little note that, it got deleted. I got to rebuild it. But I didn't even add to it. And I can tell you, when I go into rooms, I get invited up on a stage all the time. I'll sit in the audience for a few to get a gist of the conversation, and I get invited. I'm like, well, why did they pick me out of everybody else? So something must be on there that people resonate with, and they invite me up.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's you create opportunity because you show up. So you put yourself out there.
Right.
And then it makes me feel sad that people don't raise their hand and they don't try. So When I heard Oprah speak, my hand went up 2 seconds. I didn't even think. I mean, I was ready to ask Oprah anything. But I also know there's opportunities, and if you see an opportunity, you have to use your voice and connect. Right. And so you miss all the opportunities that you don't take. So I would say, for a tip to encourage people, try small rooms, try different topics that you don't know where your people are. You just don't. Mm-hmm. And how I met you was meeting Lewis, and he came into my Shot at Love room. So people are out there. You can have friends, you can have business relationships, you can find love. It's happening. It's a thing. And I just think it's such a wonderful opportunity for single people. And also, the people that you can surround yourself with are so inspiring and uplifting. And I know it's changed the quality of my life. How great would it be to find the love of your life? The man of your dreams. Do you believe online dating would work if you had the right tools to be successful? Well, I have exciting news. I've created your Best Shot at Love Masterclass. I cannot wait to share with you what's worked for me in my life and for many of my clients that have helped over the years. If you enroll in this class, you have a winning mindset and believe in getting help before you start something new. If you're ready to see changes in your dating life and want to take action, check out my free webinar at shotatlove.co. If you decide you're going to choose another path, that you're worth it, and you're willing to enroll in the masterclass, you can also register at shotatlove.co. I designed this masterclass specifically for you to be successful. Please know that everything you're going to learn in these 9 modules and 6 coaching calls has been carefully curated for you so you can gain the success you truly want. I will be there for you the whole time. In the meantime, I wish you all the success, and I can't wait to hear about your story of finding love. I'm Carrie Brett, and I will be your mentor and friend through this incredible journey. So with this opportunity to meet new people who add value to your life, what would you say Clubhouse has given you?
Oh, wow. It's given me motivation, inspiration, a sense of belonging. It's given me hope, a renewed faith in people, a renewed faith in my own personal faith walk, because our gratitude room is very faith-based oriented. I've just learned so many things about honoring God and how to grow my relationship with God, which I was, you know, questioning how to do that, and just making so many different connections with people, having faith and a belief in people again, because I was becoming so disheartened by friendships, relationships, that I told my friend, I said, I just never thought it would be like this at this day and age at 53, that I would be alone. And my mom passed, unfortunately, she was by herself. Mm. And my grandmother was living alone at the time that she got sick. And my brother came home from college and found her just very lethargic. And she never returned home once he took her to the hospital. And I was like, I don't want to die alone. I'm like, I want people around me. I want to experience people. Like, I enjoy, I don't have to have the big grand kind of, you know, outings and stuff like that. I love when I can sit in someone's backyard and have a good old conversation, or we can all, like when we went to Maryland, two of us were on blow up mattresses in one of the bedrooms. Someone else was sleeping on two different couches. Another couple was in the basement with their dogs. And we would just, we piled up after our little celebration that Saturday, and we piled up in my girlfriend's living room, and some people were on the floor, some people were in chairs, some people, you know, we just were everywhere where we could fit in, and we just laughed and talked, and, you know, I want to have those experiences, and I've gotten those with Clubhouse. Like, I know that when I get up each and every day, we have a room at 8:30. Sometimes I can tell you, I just want to sleep in and just keep sleeping, and sometimes I do. And even though I'm one of the administrators, I'm the administrator that sets the room. So I set it the night before. Sometimes I set them in advance. And even when I was away for a week, I popped in. They're like, what are you doing? You're on vacation. I was like, I miss y'all.
I know. You miss people when they yes. disappear off the app. It's kind of interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, people go there to make a change in their lives. And mm-hmm. what would your tip be for someone new? Because it can be overwhelming.
I would agree with you. Go into the smaller rooms, get your feet wet, sit and listen for a few, but don't be afraid to come up to the stage. If it's a topic that resonates with you, just jump in the deep end where you could, you know, tread water a little bit and get on the stage and participate in the conversation. That is going to open doors that you could never imagine. It's going to make you more comfortable. It's going to bring you new friends and relationships. My second day in Clubhouse, I got DM'd on Instagram by a business consultant wanting to collaborate with me on Clubhouse. And so then we had a meeting, and then I was literally on Clubhouse 1 week. I was already a moderator after 4 days, and then I became a moderator and a co-host of my own room within 2 weeks. And I'm like, what in the world is going on here?
I know. It's crazy. It's crazy. Like, it's awesome. It's amazing. And so for me, I ended up on the largest podcast stage by default, by a glitch on my first day. Yeah. And I had someone in the audience who heard me speak about finding love, and he became my business partner in my online masterclass. So
that's amazing.
It's amazing. And so I've helped him, and it's just been this amazing friendship and business partnership, and it's from Clubhouse. Mm-hmm. And the same thing, within a week I was moderating rooms, and within a couple of days, and now I have 2 clubs. And one with your boyfriend, Lewis, mm-hmm. the 90-second pitch to get hitched. So it's just been such a wild ride. And which leads me to my last question. So Clubhouse is just a different vehicle, like if you were going to use a variety of dating apps. And it gives you the opportunity to use your voice instead of relying on a leading photograph to open a door to a new connection. So now, with the world changing, people can work remotely and they're more open to a new location if they find the right person.
Mm-hmm.
And now they are, I think, more open to finding love or dating others in different states or countries. Why do you think Clubhouse holds the future of dating?
Ooh. I think it holds the future of dating because it allows people to interact at the most basic level of friendship and connectivity without the pressure of knowing that you're coming to an app just to date. You can be showing up in a gratitude room. You can be showing up in a prayer room, in a podcast room, how to DIY room, or a room that a celebrity is going to be in, and you resonate with someone. And you get to know someone just in general. You get to see their true self. And we both have shared experiences that have been great. We also have, probably could talk about some people we've met that were just god awful. I've had to block some people. We have a resident troll in our room that we've blocked and reported numerous times, and he just keeps showing back up with different profiles, but we know because he's dumb enough to use the same lingo. And then I had someone call me out of my name the other day from Lewis's room because I just told him he was rude and disrespectful because he ended the room because he had a moderator bean. And so, so sometimes you're going to meet negative people. But I think that overall, all the relationships and the connections I have made, it was just the purest of purest relationships. Because what's the purpose of going in and you're hearing a person's voice and to create this whole character where you're lying and you're acting like someone you're not and all these facades for what? It's just a voice. You're not looking the person eye to eye. You're not, looking them up and down and assessing their entire wardrobe or their credentials on a resume. It's just a voice. Yeah. And so I think that is just the basic elemental level of communication. So why not be honest? Why not show someone your true self? Because if it doesn't work, if there's no connection, you just move on.
Right.
And yeah. If you feel some kind of way, change your picture. When you're face to face with someone and you realize, today, one of my girlfriends, she's like, I'm having a bad hair day today. But you're not in front of the person. So right. She can put up any kind of photo she wants and she can look like she's having the greatest hair day ever. But in real life, her hair might be standing on the top of her head in every single direction.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because we talk about those little things when we do get on FaceTime calls and we're like, oh, girl, what's going on with your hair? She was like, girl, she was like, the whole time we was in the room this morning, it was just standing on my head in 50,000 ways. And so it's like, who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice. I mean, it strips it all away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just this mad connector and mad opportunity to make new connections. And I'm just really excited. I'm excited to see what's to come. And I love when I'm not there and I go back on and I'm like, wow, I really miss this. It's just been it's been a saving grace for me during the pandemic for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though I am talking to people and guests and seeing my clients, there's a lot of time that I don't see my friends. People are not connecting like they used to. So I think it's really filled a lot of people up and made them really happy. So thank you so much for coming on the show today. Where can people find out more about you or follow you on social media?
They can follow me on Instagram and they can follow me on Facebook at I Am Kelly Denise. That's IAMKELLYDENISE. And I am on Clubhouse in the Let the Gratitude Flow, Grow with Gratitude and Gratitude and Worship rooms, as well as co-host with Lewis on the Heart Matters Club in Clubhouse, and I will be starting a new club. Don't know the name yet. I haven't selected a name, but it's going to be pertaining to single moms. And because during the day, I'm an executive director of a nonprofit, and it's a coaching program that I created, both group and individual, for single moms. So I'm going to do some things on Clubhouse to pick up some speed in meeting moms that could use some support, and finding some great, great professionals and subject matter experts to volunteer. So there, you can go to the website for that nonprofit, trinitywellnessco.org, and you can find me there as well. And then some of my businesses will be coming up soon. I am a business owner in a professional cleaning service, and we'll be venturing into my coaching program as well. So yeah, so those are places you can find me.
Awesome. Well, you definitely have a lot of things going.
A lot of things going on. Lewis is always like, one thing at a time. Let's get one thing going, get it moving, and go to the next thing. But I appreciate this opportunity, Carrie. This was great.
Well, thank you. I know how busy you are, so I appreciate your time today. And I thought it was great. I think it's going to be super helpful for people who are looking to connect. So thanks again.
Thank you.
And for now, this week's Shout It Love tips, which are inspired by our guest, Kelly Shepherd Watts, and her journey of finding love on Clubhouse. Number one, if you're having a hard time on these dating apps and feel like giving up, you've already lived through the hardest days of your life. Every time, you survived, and guess what? You got through. Listen to Adele's new song, Hold On, for inspiration. Number two, when making a first impression, don't forget to be your authentic self. Number three, have the courage to be yourself and live outside of the margins. Successful people have that down, and the same principle works when finding love. I hope you found some of my tips helpful this week. This is what Shot at Love is here for, to help you find love. Keep up the commitment to yourself and commit to helping someone else by sharing this podcast. Remember to stay safe and stay tuned for more episodes. And if you like this show, please subscribe and leave a 5-star review. I'm Carrie Brett, and we'll see you next time.